Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
All right. Well, as Keegan shared, we are continuing our Blockbuster Summer series. And our Blockbuster Summer series is just a time during the summer where we get to watch movies. Isn't that cool? Like, who gets to watch movies at church, right? Like, I thought that was pretty cool. But we believe that God is a storyteller. We know the Bible is a lot of stories about his relationship with his people, right? We know that Jesus told a lot of stories, a lot of parables, right, to teach his disciples and to teach us different lessons about life. And so we're using stories to help us learn spiritual lessons as well. And this year we have chosen the Marvel Universe, any DC fans in the house? I'm sorry. We'll never have a DC summer, sir. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. We may. I don't know. I don't know. God may do. God, hey, anything is possible with the Lord. So today I chose a newer movie that came out last year. It's called Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And, okay, we got some fans. That's what I'm talking about. And that's why I asked our youth, our children's ministry, our preteens to hang out with us today because I knew they would like this movie. And that's why I asked my daughter, Layla, to come out and help me tell you about this movie. So we're going to start out, and what I asked Layla, a few questions because this is, come on over here, baby. I asked Layla a few questions because this is one of our favorite movies. And so the first question that I asked Layla to think about is just to help us understand what this movie is about. So Layla, what is this movie about?
The movie is about Miles Morales. He became Spider-Man. Spider people from other dimensions came because of Kingpin's collider. Kingpin was trying to use the collider to bring his family back.
So who was Kingpin?
The bad guy.
The bad guy. And do you remember why he was trying to bring his family back?
One day he was trying to kill Spider-Man, and then his family was not happy, and then they died in a car crash.
Kids' movies can be intense. So, like Layla said, Miles Morales is a teenager, right? And he's going to school, and it's a coming-of-age movie. We really love Miles, and he is our favorite Spider-Man of all time, right? Is this our favorite Spider-Man of all time?
Yes,
we think this is the best Spider-Man movie of all time as well. And it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that Miles is black and Puerto Rican, just like Layla. And so we can relate. But he is just a regular teenager trying to survive high school. And then what happens when he's doing, he gets bitten by what? What bites him?
A radioactive spider.
A spider bites him, right? And then when the collider, what happens? All these other spider people? Do you remember all the spider things?
What?
What were all the spider things that came into Miles' world?
Gwen Stacy.
Gwen, is that your favorite? Is that who you are? Okay.
Yeah.
What else? Who else?
The Peter Parker from the 1900s.
Yeah, that's right. And who else? Who's Aria?
Girl with the robot.
Mm-hmm.
Penny Parker.
Yeah. And what about the other guy or thing?
The pig.
The pig. That's why you can't even call them spider people, because there was a spider pig. So we would love this. So let me ask you, Layla, why is this one of your favorite movies?
It is one of my favorite movies because all the spider people, including Miles, became friends. They were a team. They worked together.
They worked together. They were a team. Awesome. And we also like the soundtrack, don't we?
Yes.
What's your favorite song on the soundtrack?
Elevate.
Elevate. Elevate. You remember how it goes?
You gotta choose a side. You gotta choose a side. You gotta pick. You gotta do a
right.
You gotta lose a
You better choose a side. You better do what's right. That's what the song says. Okay, last question. What is it about this movie? What are some lessons, a lesson that we learn from this movie?
In there, Spider-Man says, it's a leap of faith, Miles. That's all it is. It inspired Miles to help his friends.
So he learned that, Miles learned that it was a leap of
faith.
And so that's one of the lessons we're going to talk about today, what it means to take a leap of faith. And the next scene that we're going to see highlights that. I know you already got some lessons, because when you watch a movie at church, you get spiritual lessons already. But from this scene, we really get to see what's going on. And what's happening in this scene that you're going to see is that Miles just lost his uncle. Okay? And so he's back in his room, and he's upset, because he wasn't able to save him. He wasn't able to help him. At the same time, Miles had just been bitten by the spider. So he didn't have all the powers yet, right? He had the powers, but he couldn't really,
do it on command.
He couldn't do it on command. So he hadn't yet developed the power to control his power. So this is what we're going to be seeing now. Give it up for Layla. When will I know I'm ready? You won't. It's a leap of faith. How many of us have been there before? Being called by God to step out on faith. What is a leap of faith? It's having to make a decision that we believe is good for us, right? But at the same time, not knowing if it's going to work out the way we envision for it to work out. It's taking a risk that's going to maybe cost us more than we're going to benefit from, right? Many times what we're doing is really risking failure. So whatever we define as failure in that situation, that's what we're risking. But in order to take a leap of faith, we got to have faith to jump off of. And so how do we gain this faith so that we can make these leaps of faith so that we can go on an adventure with God and see God work and do the miraculous and experience what it's like to walk with Jesus? Well, Romans 10:17 says this: faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The more we hear the word of God, the more our faith grows. The more we read our scriptures, the more our faith grows. The more we consume the word of God into our hearts, the more our faith grows. Why? Because we get to know God more. Do you know God for yourself? Or have you just heard about him? Do you just hear about him from me or your parents or your teacher or whatever it may be? God wants us to know him personally. And so that's how we get to know him. When we get to know him, we start trusting him. I don't know about you. I can't really trust somebody I don't know. And so I don't really ask anybody to put their faith in Jesus if they don't know Jesus, because it's not going to last long. It's just not going to stand the test of time or the storms. And so the battle is just getting to know God for ourselves. Is this someone that I can trust? And let me tell you, as we read the scriptures, I guarantee you he is trustworthy. God is trustworthy. He is faithful to us, worthy to be trusted with our lives. You know, it was the word of God that inspired people all through the scriptures to do amazing things for him. God speaking to Abraham, and he was able to go, right? And to Moses and free the people, and to Joshua to lead the people. I mean, all through the Bible, I love the part where God's word, the words of Christ, actually inspire Peter to walk on water. Okay, so we're going to read in Matthew chapter 14 in verse 22, and we're going to look at how Peter took a leap of faith. He stepped out of the boat. Where's my boat? That was so good. Jackson did such a great job last week with the sermon. Can you bring it over here closer? Yeah. You're right. The storm. Look, it's about. All right, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. We're going to read out of the NLT, the New Living Translation. It says this: immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat, walked on water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Okay, so what's happening here? Jesus is getting some alone time with the Lord. He is the captain. He is the captain of the boat. But this time he says, "Listen, I need to go over here and spend some time with the Lord. There's some tough times in his life. So you guys go ahead." So Jesus is going to stay over here. He's going to be praying. And then, you know, the disciples, they're going to go ahead and go. And they go on. And then all of a sudden, boom, the wind and the waves. And then they start, oh, my God, they start, you know, going through it. And they're waking up in the middle of the night because there's a storm. And thank God nobody falls out of the boat just yet. But they are struggling. They are fearful. They think they're going to die. And at about the fourth watch of the night, somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., so Jesus literally had an all-night prayer and then decided to join them on the boat, right? I wonder if he was trying to sneak back in to not scare them, but he walked on water. He almost got there. And then they see him, and they're like, "Oh, my goodness, it's a ghost." Like, they're so scared. They're in this storm. They don't know. They're getting hit by waves. They don't know what's happening. But Jesus says these three powerful phrases: "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." I was studying this out, and I read in a commentary that there's two reasons to put away fear. Number one, the problem may not be as bad as we think it is. And so we over-exaggerate the danger, right? So that's one thing. So then that's when the husband tells the wife, "Listen, it's okay. You know, they'll be fine taking the bus to school this year. It's right down the street. There's not that much danger. It's okay." The other reason to put away fear is that the problem or danger may be real. It may be that bad, but there's an even greater solution or an even greater source of help that is available to us. So the solution is greater than the problem. The help is greater than the danger. And so Jesus says, "Listen, I know the danger is real, but I am greater than that. So don't be afraid." That is a command. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Don't be scary. You know, don't be afraid. All right? And then he says, take courage. Take it. Grab a hold of it. If you're in the storm of life, you need something to grab a hold. Take courage. And then he says, why? Because I am here. That Jesus being with us is enough for us to not be afraid and take courage. That Jesus himself, I am, the great I am, is here. Like, do we get that when we're in the storm? That the great I am is with us? If we are baptized disciples, the great I am is within us? That's the power that we have. So the danger may be real, but Jesus is with us. So what inspired Peter to get out of the boat, to take this leap of faith? Well, it was the word of Christ. Jesus himself said, come on. Yes, come on out. And he did. Peter walked on water. And now, I mean, that's pretty amazing. Now, you know, people give Peter a hard time because Jesus, when he was drowning, they're like, Jesus is like, he saved him. And he says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And people are like, man, see, he doubted. He looked at the, I think, personally, as I was reading this again, I think that Jesus was saying, why did you doubt that it was me coming? Why did you doubt that it was the great I am? Because, like, there's nothing faithless about stepping out of the boat and walking on water. Right. Like, what did Jesus, I mean, come on, even sinking. There's nothing faithless about that. But Peter did not believe that Jesus was out there. Jesus said, if it's you. I mean, Peter said, if it's you. He said, come on. And so sometimes we test God and we give him all these different things, like, do this miracle if it's really you. And we think, man, that's actually in the scriptures, that's a lack of faith. I mean, Jesus said, I did all these miracles. At the end of the day, miracles didn't save anybody. It was Jesus dying on the cross for us. Now, God is patient with us, and he'll even listen to those things that we ask him to make himself real, like he did with Peter. But really, it's because our faith needs to grow. And so I'm amazed that Peter walked on water. This is what I've learned. There is nothing that's going to help us overcome our fear of failure than actually doing something in faith. I'm telling you right now, you cannot pray enough to overcome the fear of failure if you don't do nothing. I'm saying you can't whine enough. You can't be open enough. You can't complain enough. You can't talk about how scared you are. The only way to get out of that fear is to take courage and say, okay, Jesus is with me. I'm going to go ahead and do something about this. And can I talk to the brothers for a second? I'm sorry. We got too scary. I can't tell you how many men and young men I studied the Bible with, and they're like, man, I'm just scared of failure. Will I be able to do this? And so many times we say, listen, I understand, but God, everything is possible. This is not about your power, your strength. This is about God. These are non-Christians. But here in the church, man, we are constantly, I mean, I feel like I'm a broken record. We are constantly talking about step out of the boat, step out in faith, go out on an adventure with God. What's holding you back? Man, I just don't know if I'm going to have what it takes, man. Now, believe me, I understand the first, like, 300 times. But 301 times, it's like, brothers, get up and go. You got God inside of you. You got God with you. Let's go. Let's set the example for our wives, for our families, and say, you know what? Even if I fall short, I'm still pleasing God because I'm stepping out on faith. Let's set the examples of being men of faith. Come on, brothers. We can do better. Let's lead our wives. I bet there were some men in that boat who felt like they missed out on an opportunity to be part of the amazing. I had my own stepping out on faith moment this week. I've got back into running consistently. I had fell off, but I was inspired while I was on vacation this summer. And there was a gentleman on vacation that was a runner. He had the built like a runner. He even had a tattoo of like the sneaker with the wings on it. I'm like, man, he looks cool. I'm like, I want to look like that. And so he inspired me a little bit. So after vacation, you know, you splurge on vacation, I got back into running. Chris and Kende have been holding me accountable. They're my partners. And so this past week, so I've been running for the last month or so, again, consistently trying to get 15 miles a week. And I've been running. All of a sudden, I saw this teenager that also, I guess, she decided to start running. Okay? And so I'm like, that's good, man. I'm pumped up because I love it when high school kids are like training outside of school. So I'm like, man, this is awesome. I'm like, she's running, da, da, da. And you know, the first time I'm running, I'm like, you know, I wave to everybody, I wave to all the cars. I'm like, hey, you know, yeah, I'm running. Then the next time I'm running again, and I see her, and she's just going. I mean, she's got her ponytail. I mean, she's got the swag of a, like a cross. I can tell she runs cross country, like long distance. She's flying, right? Then another time I'm running, I'm thinking I'm doing good, and all of a sudden, like, I didn't even know she was around. She pulls up, I was like, oh, snap, like, she scared me while I was running. She passed me and just was gone, right? And so this week, this week, I stepped out of my house, and I was like, okay, I got 4 miles a day, and I see her running in my neighborhood. I said, oh, it's on today. So I take off. I'm like, she's going to inspire me today. I'm gonna go get her. And so I start running. I'm like, I'm just going to keep her in my sight of vision because she was already ahead of me. So if I can keep her in my sight of vision, she's going to help me with my pace. So I step out on faith. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. I may die. I don't know, but I gotta get better today. I felt good about myself. So I'm running. I'm keeping up. I'm just keeping her in my line of vision. We run about 2 miles. And then when she turned around, you know, I waved her like I always do, okay? And I turn around, and I keep following, right? I don't know if she was, I didn't want to be creepy, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I like, you know, I'm like, this is just like, I'm just running, you know? And so, at one point, she turns off and goes up this huge hill in our neighborhood. And I'm like, I don't got that much faith today, Lord. I said, she can go on. This is where our parts, you know, we divide, and I'm going to keep running. And so I run this way. She runs that way. And then I look over, and she takes a detour, and she comes back down the hill. And I'm like, okay, now I'm in front of her. So I don't know if she's going to go back that way, if she's going to, you know, follow me. But I'm like, if she's following me, like, she is not going to catch me. And so I'm like, I'm running. And sure enough, she creeps up behind me. Passes me around the cul-de-sac and just takes off, right? And I'm like, I'm mad. So I'm following her, and this is the third mile, right? Third mile, we go down. Then we make this left, and she's far ahead of me. She make this left, and I'm coming this way. And then I notice she glanced back at me. So I'm almost dying at this point, but I'm mad. Like that, I'm like, oh, she gonna glance back like that. So once again, there's another cul-de-sac, and so she turns the cul-de-sac, and I'm running this way, she's coming this way, and I yell out to her, you're killing me. And you know what she said to me? You know what she said to me? Y'all, do you know what she said to me, church? As soon as I yelled that, no hesitation, you know what she said? Come on, man. She's like 15. I'm a grown man. I got mad for like 3 seconds, and I was so tired. And before I knew it, she had ran off into the horizon. I haven't seen her again. What's the point? The point is, after my 4 miles, I looked at my time, and I had run 4 miles in like 32 minutes. My pace was 7 minutes and 56 seconds a mile. This is my best run of my life ever. And I was dying, like dying. And the lesson for me in that moment was, surely I didn't do what I wanted to do. I stepped out in faith. I wanted to keep up with her. I wanted to beat her, and that didn't happen. And yet, I still did better than I've ever done in my life. And so for us, when we step out on faith, yes, it may not go the same way we want it to go, but it may end up that you still walked on water, that you still accomplished something, that something great still happened along the way that wouldn't have happened if you wouldn't have tried to go for it in the first place, okay? There's a quote that I never forget. It says this: shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars. Shoot for the moon, and if you don't make it, guess what? You'll still be among the stars because you would have done something, and you would have moved forward, and you have grown in your faith. Brothers and sisters, let's shoot for the moon. And even if we miss, we'll be among the stars. Now, that was funny, not that serious. For you, it may be taking a leap of faith, something like really serious and meaningful. Like maybe you're thinking about dating somebody. That's pretty serious, right? Maybe you like somebody at school, and you know, or maybe you know somebody in the church that's, yeah, man, his heart is so amazing. Her heart, man, she's so spiritual. And you're thinking about going steady. That's a leap of faith, especially if you've been hurt before. Especially if it didn't work out, your last relationship in the church didn't work out. When you were like really faithful and just knew it was going to be different in the kingdom, and it didn't work out. It's a leap of faith to go and give your heart again. Or you're thinking about getting married. All right, you're thinking, man, is she the one? Am I ready to be that selfless? I hear the married brothers talking about it all the time. I don't know. I'm stepping out. Step out on faith. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Pop the question. Go for it. Marriage is good. You'll be so much happier. Shoot your shot. Yes. Yes. Elder Derek said, get advice in the process. Maybe you think about having kids. It's so funny when couples tell me, we don't know if we're ready to have kids. Guess what? You ain't never going to be ready to have kids. Even if you think you're ready, you ain't ready. And maybe it's something more, something taking on a new role at your job. Maybe it's taking on a new role at church. Maybe it's moving somewhere. Maybe it's taking on going after your dream somehow. Maybe it's just reaching out to somebody in your family. Maybe it's serving the way God wants us to serve. But God is calling us to step out on faith. And the question is, will you take a leap of faith? If we are studying the Bible, we're growing in our faith, and we are thinking about becoming a Christian, at what point are you going to say yes? Let's see what God does. Yes. Amen. Come on, Red. That's what I'm talking about. Follow Red's example. She said yes. Is she so happy now? I don't know if y'all knew Red before she became a Christian. Yeah, I was scared sometimes. She came back. She was away for the summer. She gave me a big hug. I was so happy to see her. She was happy to be back at church. It's awesome. Man, fight to go ahead and take that leap of faith. You're going to go through hard times regardless. You want to do it by yourself? Or do you want to be in the boat with Jesus? I'd rather be on the boat with Jesus during the storms and ultimately be able to be in heaven with him. You know, Gerald took a leap of faith last Sunday. Gerald is 16 years old. Man, Gerald just turned 16 not too long ago. He's been coming out for a while now, a couple years. So he became an atheist, I think, at like 10 years old. Is that right? Around 10? How old were you, Gerald? Huh? There was a point, he's getting shy right now. He was an atheist. I mean, he came to church and he would argue with us straight up. Didn't know much that he was talking about. That's my boy. I can talk to him. That's my boy. But he was arguing. Why? Because he just didn't have faith in God. He had been through some hard times with church people. And, you know, I asked him, I said, well, why did you come to church? He said, basketball. Number one. Number two, I came here to confirm my doubts. He said, you know what? I was so sure this God thing wasn't real. I said, I'm going to go with my sister. Melina just got baptized earlier this year. She became a Christian in February, I believe it was. It's like, okay, well, that's good for her. Okay. But this thing ain't real. And as he was growing, coming to church, hearing the word, I said, well, what changed your mind? He said, I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy. Things weren't going my way in life, and I came to church, and you guys are always happy. I said, well, not always, but I'm glad that we're happier than most. I'm glad there is joy. That is the fruit of the Spirit. So it'd be messed up if we were just as sad as the world all the time, right? But he said, I wanted to see what y'all had. And so I started reading the Bible. And Kevin and Lauren, the Lanes, have been just an incredible couple in their lives and in their family. And Lauren gave him a book, Just Like Jesus by Max Licato. Just Like Jesus. He read this book. And the crazy thing about it was that me and Chris, we were going to study the Bible with another friend of ours that goes to Georgia State, and he wanted to hang out with Gerald. I said, just bring Gerald along into the study. You never know what happens. You know, Gerald isn't ready to follow Jesus right now, but if he hangs out with us, you never know what could happen. And we're in this study with Gerald and our other friend who's studying the Bible at Georgia State, and we're studying our salvation. And Gerald is answering all the questions. And Gerald is preaching to the other person in the study. Okay, so we talk about sin, and Gerald starts confessing sin. I'm like, okay. And then we talk about the effects of sin, how it separates us from God, and where do we stand before God if we're not saved, and in the light or in the dark. And Gerald said, I'm in the dark. I said, well, do you want to be in the light? I'm really not understanding what's happening here. I'm like, when did this happen? He's like, yeah, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I didn't even know you believed in heaven, first of all, or hell, because he did it for a while. And he said, I said, Gerald, do you want to follow Jesus for the rest of your life? Yes, I do. Man, me and Chris looked at each other like, what in the world is happening? And it's been amazing to see the power of God just move in Gerald's life. And Gerald has been through so much in his life, and he has made decisions to repent. He has made decisions to forgive. And he's been through, if you want to be inspired, you think you got it rough, just talk to Brother Gerald of what all he's going through. And let's see the video. He got baptized in case you missed it last week. Let's watch the video.
You believe in the Son of God, that he died on the cross, rose from the dead, now sits in the right hand of God?
Yes.
What is your good confession?
Jesus is Lord.
Because of your good confession, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your sins will be forgiven, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you'll be added to God's kingdom.
Young people, to our preteens and young people going middle school, high school, listen, just get to know God for yourself. Amen. But study it out. You know, study it out for yourself. That's what we all need to do. Ask the questions you got to ask, and seek the answers that you want to find out. That's why we study the Bible with people, is to help people really understand what it means to follow Jesus. We know that ultimately, going back to the movie, Spider-Man also took his leap of faith, right? We know that was a huge leap of faith for Gerald. Spider-Man took his leap of faith. What happens in that scene that we watched, while he's all tied up, his dad actually comes. His father comes, and his father knocks on the door because he wanted to give him the bad news about his uncle passing away. And he couldn't open the door, of course, and his father and Miles had been at odds. And his father, through the door, says, hey, I know you're in there. I understand if you don't want to get the door. But listen, I see this spark in you. It's amazing. Whatever you choose to do with it, you'll be great. So he breaks out of the web. He takes his leap. Ultimately, he saves the world and everybody else's world as well. So for even Miles Morales, he had to hear the words of his father, that his father believed in him. So the word of God will help us grow in our faith so we can take that leap of faith. You know, if you remember at the beginning of that clip, you know, he was upset he couldn't save his uncle. and he was grieving. And if you remember all the other spider people, spider things, do you remember what they said to him? They said, "We can understand what you're going through." In every dimension, each one of the spider things had lost somebody. Uncle Ben, Uncle Benjamin, my best friend, every single one of them had lost somebody in their own dimension, which leads us to the next lesson from this movie, that loss can inspire love. We got to allow loss to shape our lives for the good, to inspire love in our lives. Every single one of them had experienced loss, but it was this loss that actually motivated them, that inspired them to be the heroes that they became. And if it wasn't for this loss, this tragedy in their lives, they wouldn't have the compassion, they wouldn't have the love, they wouldn't have the motivation to go out and save the world over and over again. We know for the traditional Spider-Man, it was Uncle Ben. And what did Uncle Ben tell him before he passed away? With great power comes great responsibility. And that stuck with Spider-Man. So we're going to go back to Matthew 14 because when we started reading that scripture, it said that Jesus sent them all away, right? That he needed some alone time with God. Do we know why he needed some alone time with God? His cousin John the Baptist was just murdered. Jesus was experiencing loss. Back in Matthew 14, in the beginning of it, we read about how John the Baptist, he was preaching to Herod, the ruler of this town in Galilee. And Herod did not like it, and his wife Herodias did not like it, because John was telling Herod, listen, it is wrong that you have now taken your brother's wife. Scandalous. And so John wasn't scared of nobody. He was preaching. But Herod was upset, and so they had John beheaded and actually brought his head on a platter. Is that crazy what's in the Bible? We're going to pick up in verse 10. It says, so John was beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on the tray and given to the girl who took it to her mother. Later, John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus what had happened. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd and stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Jesus was struggling. He just got word that his cousin, his boy, a fellow preacher, had been beheaded, had been murdered in cold blood in front of everybody. And anybody that's had to hear the bad news of losing somebody knows how that feels. I mean, you're shocked, you're broken, you're grieving. And, you know, most of the time you just want to be alone. I just want to be alone, right? And so that's what he wanted to do. He just wanted to be alone, but he didn't stay alone. See, the people didn't know what he was going through. And so they said, man, that's Jesus. He's going over there. I'm going to follow him. I need some healing. They couldn't understand the grief that Jesus was going through. They didn't know because they were broken. They were in need. But when he saw this crowd, he didn't go back the other way. I don't know about you, man. This boat would have been like, I would have been going back, man. I can't talk to y'all right now. But Jesus said, you know what? They're broken. They're in need. They need compassion. And that's what he did. He saw this crowd. He healed their sick. Jesus was sick. Emotionally, he was sick. And yet he pushed through to serve others who were sick. Loss can make us selfish, or it can make us more compassionate. When we experience loss and we allow God to use it for good, it makes us more sympathetic to those who are hurting as well. That's what I've seen in my life. I understand grief. And so when you understand grief, you know that you and somebody is going through it, you know that you don't have to fix it. You know that you just be there with them. You know you can mourn with them. I mean, you know what you would need in the moment. And you try to be that for somebody else. And so loss can really inspire compassion and love. For those of you who don't know Jamal, his sister passed away. His sister Taryn passed away 2 Wednesdays ago. I remember getting a text early that morning around 7 a.m. that she had passed away. Taryn was 12 years old.
12 years old. She had been battling cancer since she was 6 years old. And we were at Taryn's funeral after church this past Sunday. And this is a picture of Jamal actually speaking. And the funeral was so packed. It was standing room only. So they were sitting people in this back office. I came back there so I could see Jamal speak. And I was so inspired by him. And I had to take a picture just for myself to see who Jamal has become over the last 2 or so years, where he was able to address the people, share about his sister, and share scriptures. I mean, it was awesome. This was the first funeral of a child that I'd ever been to. But let me tell you, it was like the most joyful one I've ever been to. She had made such an impact in such a short period of time. I mean, there was people like Robin Roberts had a message for her. The owners of Aflac were there. All her teachers were at this funeral. They all shared about who she was, the impact she had made in their lives. They actually asked people to come down. They asked the young people to come down and dance to the song Happy. And so you see all these people in the front of this funeral home dancing and clapping to Happy. Because she brought so much joy. I talked to Jamal's other sister and said, you know what Taryn told me before she passed? Her last words were, follow your dreams. Take a leap of faith. Go after it. Wow. I was amazed. But that Wednesday that she passed, we had Character Ed where we go to North Clayton. And I was making my way over there. I had the girls. They were grilling out for the football players. And I just planned. I'm saying, well, I guess I'll see Jamal later on. I'm going to go to him wherever he is just to be there with him. And all of a sudden, he shows up to Character Ed with RJ, his boy, our brother. And spent some time with him, gave him a big hug. We just spent some time with him talking and listening. Because he wasn't just mourning the loss of his sister. Jamal has, in the last two years, which is basically since he's been a Christian, has lost both of his grandmothers. He lost his boy, Edwin Jackson, and a former NFL player for Indianapolis Colts that he grew up with, his friend, Izir, his baseball coach, and, of course, our brother, Kavi, who was there to help him to become a Christian. In the last 2 years, Jamal has experienced all this loss. But after we talked that day, you know what Jamal did? He started talking to the boys. He started ministering to the boys, sharing scriptures with the boys, catching up with the boys. That was Wednesday. That Thursday night, he spent time with his family. That Friday night, we get a text. Jamal decided that there's a friend of his that he wants to help and minister to and study the Bible with, share scriptures with. But his friend didn't have that much time. The only time that he had was to practice cutting hair. And so Jamal put himself in the barber's chair and decided he was going to let his friend cut his hair, simply for the reason that he wanted to spend time with him ministering to him. Now, brothers, y'all know we don't listen to anybody cut our hair now. Talk about a leap of faith. And he hadn't cut nobody's hair except for his family. So Jamal was really stepping out on faith. Then we get... This is Friday night, and we get another text message. Playing video games. We got the guys over. We're playing video games, playing 2K. Then we get another text message, and we're playing basketball. Some of the guys are playing are here today. Playing basketball. And after that, we get another text message that night. Waffle House. And you know how they ended that night? Studying the crucifixion with one of his friends, Debo. Nobody told Jamal to do this. I was like, Jazz, did you tell him? I mean, what? I was so inspired. I texted him, I said, you remind me of Jesus. The next day was his sister's viewing. I don't know if I'd be there. I don't even know. And you know what he said? I texted him the next day. He said, that was the best day of my life. Of 2019, he said, it's the best day of 2019 because I just stepped out on faith. I didn't know what God was going to do. I felt like God was leading me every step of the way. I'm weak. I'm not doing good. I'm mourning, but God was just moving me to love people and serve people.
Like I said, the next Saturday was his view, was the viewing for his sister. Sunday after the funeral, that night I called him to see how he was doing. And he said, you know what? I'm not doing good, but I'm motivated. I said, you motivated? He said, yeah, I'm motivated to see my sister again. And so I'm gonna love God. I'm gonna keep fighting. I'm gonna love people and be the best disciple I can be. And I'm gonna let this loss motivate me and inspire love in my life. That morning, that Sunday morning, of course, Gerald was getting baptized. So I had called him again that morning just to see how he was doing. I knew he wasn't gonna be able to make it to church. I'm talking to him about how he's doing. You know, he says, how's Gerald? Is Gerald, Gerald's getting baptized today, right? I said, yes. I said, tell Gerald I wish I could be there with him. Tell Gerald I love him and that I'm proud of him. See, what you may not know is that there probably wouldn't be a saved Gerald sitting over in that corner if it wasn't for Jamal deciding to become a Christian over 2 years ago. Jamal was the first person at North Clayton High School from our ministry there with Fellowship of Christian Athletes that decided to take the leap of faith, take the plunge of faith, and become a Christian. And from there, his friend RJ has become a disciple. Asia became a disciple. Coach Moreno, his wife Stacy, he was a coach there at North Clayton. They became disciples. Red, Melina, and now Gerald have become disciples. It's because God working through Jamal, him having the faith, taking that leap of faith to follow Jesus. And so think about this for those of you who are studying the Bible, who will come after you? Who will you inspire? So many times we just think about ourselves, even in salvation, it's not about us. It's like, man, there's so many more people that we got to help. And then pray for Asia. Asia is going to Columbus State. This is her last Sunday. She's going to Columbus State. She already has her associate's degree. Now she's going to go be a light at Columbus State. So please pray for our sister Asia. Loss is inspiring love. Now, let me just get this, make this clear as I wrap things up. I'm not talking about ignoring your grief. I'm not talking about ignoring your doubts. I'm not talking about ignoring your sadness. It's about embracing those things, like understanding those things are real. Tragedy is real. Loss is real. Grief is real. Those things are real. So we have to embrace them, but in that, we have to cry out to God. In our grief, we got to wrestle through our doubts in the Word of God, and we got to sit in sadness with our friends. And that's what Jamal's been doing every step of the way. He's been open every step of the way. He's seeking grief counseling, so he's going to get the help that he needs. And it was so amazing. A few midweeks ago, before his sister passed, we have our mobilizers training group that we have after midweek, and so we're there late. Usually we're there 10:30, and we come out that night, and we see a circle of disciples circling Jamal. Our brother Phil literally is holding him by his neck in a full embrace, praying over this man. Not just praying over him, but speaking life into this man. Tell him how much God loves him. Tell him how courageous he is. Tell him how he can get through this, how strong he is because of God. And the brothers and sisters were surrounding them, placing their hands on them, and praying for them, and praying for him. And I was so inspired by our church that night because I'm like, this is what it should be about. And we don't got to hide our grief. We don't got to hide our challenges. We don't got to try to be superheroes that aren't broken. We're all broken. But that in those tough times, we can come together so that we can continue to love in spite of really deep and tough losses. So, Jesus decided that he was going to continue to love, to allow his loss to inspire love, to have compassion on others, to heal the sick. And I hope we will do the same. If you're dealing with loss, let it inspire you to love. If you're contemplating a leap, jump. Shoot for the moon. Because even if you miss, you'll land among the stars. Let's pray for our communion. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for this time where we get to remember Jesus. We get to remember his life. We get to remember his example. We get to remember the sacrifices that he made in his life and in his death. The sacrifice that he made on that cross ultimately to forgive us of our sins. God, thank you so much that we get to partake in that right now. Yeah, we get to eat this cracker that represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. That we get to drink this juice that represents his blood that was shed for us for the forgiveness of our sin. So that we don't have to stay in the darkness anymore. So we don't have to drown in our sorrow, drown in our loss, drown in our doubts, God, in our fear. That the storms of life, they will not overtake us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And it's all because of Jesus. And we thank you for that. We celebrate that. And Father, we pray that in that act of forgiveness and grace and mercy and compassion, that we will be inspired to be like your son, Jesus Christ. To be faithful, to put our faith in him. And to follow his example, that even as he was hurting, he still gave, he still loved, he still saved, he still healed. Give us the strength and the power to be able to do that each and every day, especially this week, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.